Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a kind of madness, an obsession that seizes a large percentage of the people in our country right about this time of year. Millions of people, young and old, men and women in our great cities and in the quiet rural places are stricken with football fever. Every week to countless people, the games that perhaps their kids play in Pee Wee football or in high school or their favorite college team or their favorite professional team means either for them the joy of victory or the agony of defeat. Now, whether you're a football fan or your favorite sport is another one, perhaps White Sox fans are in a bit of agony this year at this time. All sports fans, all fans of any kind of competition know very well the agony of defeat, the bitterness and the emptiness, the frustration that comes with seeing your team go down in flames at the end of a long losing season. None of us, whether you're a rabid fan or a renowned competitor, no one thrives on defeat. Rather, we delight in the joy of victory. Look at some of the sports coverage in your news feed later today, and then the pictures of fans and players from various games around the country yesterday, and you know that this is true, the joy of the crowds in the stadium as their team wins against a rival. Well, we've come together today not to talk about sports or our favorite team and the joys or the agony of winning or losing, but rather so that we can focus just a relatively short amount of time out of our week on the surpassing victory that God has granted to us that goes far beyond any temporary victory of our favorite team or of any competition or anything that we are involved in our lives. And so we talk today about true joy, not just a temporary happiness or excitement, true joy, the joy that we have as God's people, knowing his salvation. This is a joy that captures and captivates God's people as nothing else can. And it's about this kind of joy that God's great prophet Isaiah speaks today in our sermon text. So we listen to Isaiah today as he speaks about the joy of God's people in making known his salvation. More than 700 years before the time of Jesus, God raised up his prophet Isaiah to live and to work among his chosen people, the Israelites. The burden of Isaiah's ministry was in part a proclamation of doom and damnation, similar to God's mission for Jeremiah the prophet, but for Isaiah especially, his message also included a message of confident and joyful hope. The joy and hope of God's salvation being revealed to God's people, Israel. And so, for example, in these verses, Isaiah says to God's people, "See, your God comes with vengeance. With dread retribution, he comes to save you." The prophet is foretelling a time when God would literally restore the fortunes of his people, who did not happen to be the world power that they once were in centuries previous under the great kings David and Solomon. Now, because of their persistent sinning, their lusting after other gods of the pagan peoples around them, their love for the comforts and ease of the good life, their selfish pride in believing that they were God's chosen people and that nothing they did, no sin they committed, could ever change that, their stubborn unwillingness to repent of their sins and to heed the call of God's prophets. Because of those sins against God, God's anger was kindled against his people, and he warned them that his judgment would come upon them because of their sins. And just as God warned, he did. He permitted invasions and the threat of destruction by the foreign idol-worshipping powers that lived around them. He permitted those foreign nations at various times to occupy Israel and to exert persecution upon its people. Most directly at this time was the imminent threat of destruction at the hands of the Assyrian Empire, who were renowned for the torture that they would inflict upon the people that they captured. And yet, in spite of wars and rumors of wars, God desires still to speak about hope to his people through his prophet, about a time when good fortunes of God's people would be restored, the time when they would repent of their sins and turn back to God with all their hearts and in devotion and thankfulness for his love and forgiveness. More importantly, the words of the prophet Isaiah are revelation of the time when the fortunes of God's people would surely be restored in the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. Not the kind of theocracy that God had in mind for his people in the Old Testament, when he was their leader, the leader of their political nation on earth, but rather a kingdom that God would establish through the Messiah, the Savior that he would send, a kingdom of grace and love in which he reigns in the hearts of his people through faith in that promised Savior. And so when the kingdom of God and of his Christ would be established in this world, not only would God reveal the joy of deliverance, of earthly deliverance, but a deliverance from the greatest of all our enemies, the enemies of sin, Satan, death, and hell. And Isaiah says that when this kingdom of God is revealed, then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongues of the dumb, the mute, shout aloud. And we see, as we read in the gospel reading today, and in other passages from the gospels, in the earthly ministry of Jesus, such joy and deliverance was literally revealed to God's people as Jesus performed all of those miracles. Jesus did make blind people see. He did unstop the ears of those who were deaf. He did heal the lame, the crippled, the paralyzed, and made their bodies whole again so that they could not only walk haltingly, but that they could jump and leap and praise God. And those who were mute had their tongues unloosed so that they could shout about God's salvation and sing with joy for his redemption. But God revealed joy and deliverance to his people in Christ, not simply by giving the physically afflicted a physical deliverance from their bodily problems. Rather, God brought to our world, and particularly to those who believe in him, the joy of salvation from our spiritual burden of sin and guilt. Sin is, after all, the enemy that robs us of the right to be God's children. Sin builds a wall of separation between us and God. Sin prevents us from seeing God as we should in his grace and mercy. Sin enthrones other gods, false gods, upon the altar of our heart. Gods of pride, of lust, of dishonesty, selfishness, and greed. But God tells us in his word, Christ came so that we might have life and have it to the full. This full, abundant life for the children of God is the life of victory that is experienced in the salvation that Jesus came to purchase and to win for us by his blood that he shed upon the cross. And so for us, knowing that our deliverance, our salvation is sure and certain in Christ, knowing that our greatest and worst enemies of sin, death, and the devil and hell have been overcome by Jesus' death and resurrection, now we have the joy and peace deep in our hearts that the world cannot give and that the world and the circumstances of our life cannot change. If there's one single characteristic that should reveal us as God's people, it is joy. The joy of knowing that God promised and delivered salvation to us through his Son, Jesus, our Savior. That he has restored to us all that we, because of our sins, had lost for ourselves. When the prophet Isaiah speaks about the coming of God's kingdom of salvation and God coming with vengeance and retribution to save, he's speaking of God successfully turning aside and thwarting the power and the attacks of the devil. Indeed, as we sing in the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress," the old evil foe is crushed. His power is broken because of Jesus' victory on the cross. It means that the enemies of mankind and God, sin, death, and damnation, have all been overcome, as indeed they have been in Christ's death and resurrection. The Apostle Paul says, Christ has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. God's people in Zion, in the heavenly Jerusalem, and we, as part of God's New Testament church, should indeed live in joy. The joy of knowing that our spiritual enemies have been defeated by Jesus our Savior, and that our peace with God is secure because of Jesus. The joy of God's people is revealed in us who know that God's salvation and deliverance are ours in Jesus Christ our Savior. Our God has made his salvation known to us. Now, people in various times in their lives may have various reasons for being joyful. For example, at the birth of a child, what joy that is as the happy couple and perhaps their other children, grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins, all the relatives rejoice in welcoming a new member of the family. Or another family milestone, the wedding of a child, for example. Or perhaps in the healing from a chronic illness. What joy there is in those events. The joy of God's people, the joy of salvation, is infinitely far more inspiring than any kind of physical or earthly blessings that bring us joy temporarily. God's people have a joy that surpasses all human understanding. And that is revealed to us and through us when God uses us to make this joy of salvation known to others around us in our lives. Again, Isaiah speaks about the joy of God's coming messianic kingdom, coming in the future from the time of the prophet Isaiah, living 700 some years before Jesus. And he promises that the people will see and hear God as never before when that Savior that God had promised finally came. And so again, Isaiah wrote in our reading, "Then shall the blind man's eyes be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shout aloud." As we stated, we saw that such things were literally fulfilled in Jesus' ministry of miracles and mercy. But more importantly, these promises are fulfilled in the lives of all who know God's salvation and who seek to make that salvation known to others. The joy of God's people is revealed in this, that our spiritual vision will be enlightened, that we will see God in all his grace and mercy. We will hear with joy the good news of the gospel. These spiritual infirmities of sin and weakness will be overcome through the life and ministry, the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus. Then the children of God will speak aloud and shout from the mountaintops what God has done for us, his people, through the power of our Savior's love. The prophet also says that the joy of God's people will be revealed as they make his salvation known to a world that is barren and dry and needs the refreshing good news of the Savior's love, just as the parched desert needs the nourishment, the life-giving water that can only allow for life and plants to grow. Jesus himself fulfilled this prophecy when he said about himself, "I am the water of life." And if you remember Jesus' interaction with a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, and she said, "Lord, give us this water so that we will never be thirsty again." The beauty and the joy of God's people is that we may drink deeply from that water of salvation, We are wholly refreshed. We experience full satisfaction for our souls. In such an experience, the dryness and the emptiness of the world's cruel and empty promises of refreshment are swallowed up. And now, having been truly refreshed at the wells of salvation that God has brought to our world through Jesus, now God's people seek to refresh others in our world with this life-giving good news. Here is our joy to be found as a people of God, that God refreshes us, not so that the fountains should later dry up in us, but rather so that the fountains of new spiritual life that God has given to us should overflow and refresh the world around us, which in so many respects is still a spiritual desert, a barren wasteland with broken peace and empty promises. Let our world know that your spiritual vision has been enlightened. You see God now in all his grace. Tell the world that your ears have been unstopped by Jesus, your Savior, that you hear now God's sweet message of love and forgiveness. Let the world know that you can spiritually dance for joy because of what has happened to you through Jesus, your Savior. Shout to the world the good news of the gospel of peace. Just as you have been refreshed by the water of life, so now become yourself a refreshing fountain to our world, so that all of you may experience the joy that we have as the people of God, and so that they then in turn will also make this joy of God's salvation. In life as the people of God pale in comparison to the true spiritual joy that God gives to us in knowing his love and salvation through Jesus. We experience such joy in being recipients of the plan of salvation that God has made known through the coming of his son Jesus. And when we who have experienced such joy, such great salvation, are able to share that good news with others, then we also share in that joy with our world. So shout it from the mountaintops. I want the whole world to know the Lord of love has come to me, has saved me, has rescued me from sin and damnation, and I want to pass that joy on to others. Pass it on. Don't be afraid to express the joy that you have as God's people in being saved and in sharing that fact with the whole world. Amen.